with his strength and the new vitamin regimen that he's on, and his appointment on Thursday with the kidney doctor. Be with that whole situation and help heal him, Lord. Be with my wife's brother, Mark Grant, and what he's going through, and my sister, Angel, my son, Joseph, in the Marines, the Fenster Maker family, Chaz's son, and the heart transplant that he's had is doing well. Just be with, continued with that health and healing. Be with Bob's sister, Linda, and his niece, Katie, and their situation. Be with Johnny and Alana and her pregnancy, that all that goes smooth. And Joey and Dave for their strokes, continue to heal them and return them to normal. Be with baby Riker and the Davis, the Dawsons, and the Brown families, and Billy's family, and be with Pastor Greg's family as he goes through what he's going through. And Amy's co-worker Joy, whose husband is, I'll be with her husband Kevin, and Rachel and the upcoming surgery that she's got, be with that. And Dolly's nephew Joey and his kids, and Dana's family, be with Bob and Mary's daughter Wendy, and I praise that she's doing better, but you continue to help heal her. And be with Daphne, who's at the urgent care right now with the swollen eye, woke up with it, doesn't know why. Be with all of our children and all the evil influences aimed at their minds, and protect them. All of our jobs, our military, the nation of Israel, and all the Iranian people that we're trying to liberate from the tyranny over there. And be with our president and all the pushback that he gets. Be with all of our unspoken requests, and be with the clear and simple gospel message and a praise that Dolly's water problem's fixed, and that that was all cleared up for her. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the opportunity you give us to pray and help others where we can. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, hey, Pastor Joe.
Yes.
Pastor Lance up in Minnesota seems like he's doing better now from that heart attack. So,
That's good.
yeah, I forgot to put it on here.
Good, good. Okay. All right. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. We're going to talk about repentance and the gospel. Now, if we're not talking about repentance, it doesn't really matter what the word repent means, whether people do it or don't do it, whether they believe it or they don't believe it. But when it comes to the gospel, and going to heaven or hell, then it becomes very important. So we're going to look at what does it mean and how it's used in the Bible. Paul's last letter, now Paul tells young Christian Timothy in his last letter before he dies in verse 16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, or for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, in verse 16. So all scripture is given by God, not by man. Why? Because holy men of God spake as God's Holy Spirit, indwelling them, told them what to write down. Yes, God used men to write down his word, but it wasn't until these men were indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. So it was the Holy Spirit telling that man what to put down, God's word. In the Bible, man could not have done what he did in putting this whole book together and having it never contradict itself. So 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 tells you that. So it's profitable to you, Timothy. It's profitable for learning doctrine, for reproof, for correcting things that people get wrong. Paul's about to die. He's in jail. He's going to end up getting beheaded. And he's just writing this to Timothy, and it's telling him, look, this is what you need to do. This will instruct you moving forward. Why is he telling him this? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that perfect doesn't mean perfect. You're not going to be perfect. No man has ever been perfect. It means spiritually mature. So we want to study the whole Bible, which is why we. You back up one chapter. He tells Timothy in chapter 2, verse 15, to study to show that yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So even though the word of God is good for all those things, so that the man of God may be complete, mature, it tells us to rightly divide the word of truth, which many people do not rightly divide. So that's the one thing we'll look at today. We're going to dig into what repentance has to do with the gospel. You see, people hold up signs in movies, repent, the end is near. And I love it. I love seeing that in movies. It's hilarious. I get a kick out of it every time I see it. Well, what are they telling me to do? Does the Bible teach that an unbeliever must repent in order to be saved? Yes, it does. And now there are people telling that teach that you don't have to repent. But the Bible does command all men everywhere to repent, meaning to change their mind. But we all know that that guy holding up the sign is trying to tell you that you want to stop sinning. And so every time I present the gospel, I teach repentance. And that is to simply believe on Christ. Because if you are an unbeliever and you believe, you have simply changed your mind because you received some good information to make that wise decision to do so. The Apostle Paul, and man, I want to do a short series just on Paul alone someday soon. Yeah. There's some neat things about Paul and his ministry that I think you guys would really like to see and hear. But anyway, the Apostle Paul said, "The gospel of Christ was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's everybody. Turn to Acts 20, if you will, if you want to. If not, I got most of it up here, I think. He said that his ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Testify the gospel of the grace of God. But none of these things, in verse 24 of Acts 20, he says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The next verse, he says, "You're not going to see my face anymore." He knew his time was about up. So what was the gospel of the grace that he testified of to both the Jews and the Greeks? Evidently, it is to both the Jew and the Greek. If it is, it must have been the same message for Jew and Gentile. Everyone is saved exactly the same way. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to change our minds about God, that he does not accept our works for salvation, but he wants us to look to Jesus Christ and to be saved by faith and what Christ did, and not by faith in what we do. And so there is a great deal of confusion regarding the meaning of the word repent. And so if you were to get a dictionary and look up the word in a dictionary, Webster's Scholastic Dictionary gives this meaning for the word repent: to feel regret for something done or left undone, to be penitent, to remember with self-reproach or sorrow. So that's the word many people will take the meaning of and apply it to the Bible, and therefore many preachers, especially evangelists, will tell tear-jerking stories at the end of their sermons so that they can make you feel sorry for all those bad things that you've done, so that you'll be willing to stop them or turn from them. And so they've got to tell you that to get you all worked up and scared half to death, and will make salvation something that it's not, something that you have to do. And it also gives this definition of repentance, meaning an act of repenting, sorrow for sin, penitence, or contrition. So some preachers will say that men must turn from sin, or be willing to turn from sin, or feel sorrow for sin, or they cannot be saved. So if a man has to turn from sin, what does it mean? Well, if you're sinning and you got to turn from it, it means you got to stop it. So you have to stop your sinning. Well, now the question he gets down to: how many sins do you have to stop? And what do you got to turn from? Well, what if you turn back? Boy, there's a lot of confusion. It's a can of worms, and it's not what the Bible is teaching, because that leads to confusion. And of course, we know God is not the author of confusion. If a man must do any of these things to be saved, then he merits his salvation by his good works. This message adds human effort to faith for salvation. the biblical meaning. Most preachers and Bible teachers that teach repentance have never done it according to their own definition and take on it. And sadly, most Christians are easily confused over its biblical meaning because they have never taken out one of these books, like a concordance, and carefully studied the pages there and the term as it's used. And they've never read any books that deal exclusively with the Bible's use of the word repent. And if you get the meaning of the word repent wrong as it relates to salvation, then your conclusions are also going to be wrong. When speaking at a Baptist conference one time, Yankee asked the question, how many of y'all believe that you have to be turned from sin to be saved? He says nearly all of them raised their hands. He says, isn't it strange? You're telling lost people that they have to repent of their sins to be saved, meaning to turn and stop from their sins to be saved. And he says, not a one in you in here has ever done it. He said, not a one in you can raise your hands and say that you don't sin anymore, because you all still do. He admits that it didn't sit too well and thought that he might get taken out back after the conference was over. So it can be hard to get a person to acknowledge and suck up their pride and admit that they're wrong when a whole lifetime they've been preaching the wrong way, and many just won't do it. And so if you can get the meaning of the word repent as it relates to salvation right, your conclusion will be right. Have you ever done a personal in-depth study about the word repentance on your own? Have you ever read a book dealing with repentance and its various meanings and uses in the Bible? The answer to both of those questions is probably no. And that is one reason why there is so much confusion about repentance, especially as it relates to salvation. But remember, God isn't the author of confusion. But when you tell a man he has to turn from sin, that leads to confusion, because now he has to figure out, is it just the big sins or is it the little sins? Is it all sins or is it just most sins? Well, what about what happens if I don't completely turn from all sins? What if I'm committing sins that I didn't know was a sin, so I didn't stop that? You see, you'd have to stop everything exactly to the T that's wrong. And stop it all. In other words, it means you have to be perfect. So if you missed the mark, and the Greek word for sin is harmatano, means to miss the mark, for when he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. That word sinned is harmatano, and it means to miss the mark. And God says we've all missed the mark. So to turn from that, it means you've got to hit the mark of perfection. That's impossible. So what are people telling people to do? Be perfect to go to heaven. And that's impossible. That's why they're not saved, because they've never turned from their sin. No man ever has and never will. And Satan takes great delight in promoting such confusion about repentance. If Satan can change your motive, he wants to change your method. If he can't change your motive, he wants to change your method or your message and confuse the listener. And then if you don't know what to do or what to tell people, then you're not going to tell people anything that's good, because you don't know what the true gospel is. When you understand the gospel of grace, it's easy to see that requiring a lost man to turn from sins to be saved is totally contrary to the doctrine of grace. Because if grace is grace, it means it's not of works. Well, then that means you don't have to stop your sinning, because if you had to stop your sinning, it means you earned it. So repenting and grace doesn't go together if it means to turn from sin. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and turn from your sin and you will be saved is a false message. It is not just unclear, it's false. It's a lie. Cannot save. Many people believe that repent means to turn from sin, and because they continue to sin, then they have every right or reason to doubt their salvation. When such a message is preached, how will it come across to a lost person? I know that smoking and drinking are sins, and I've tried to quit them many times, but I just can't. I can never be saved because I can't quit my sinning. A lot of people, just being plain honest, don't want to become a hypocrite by claiming to be something that they're not. So if you want to be a good soul winner, you need to be clear. Telling people to repent of their sins is not clear. It's muddy, it's terrible, and it's a false message. Doesn't the Bible teach that repentance is necessary for salvation? Yes, it does. The question then becomes, what does the word repentance mean as it relates to the salvation of the lost man? Now, there's four Greek words that the word repent is translated from, metanoi and metanoio. And these two words mean the same thing. One's a noun and one's a verb. Metanoi is the noun for metanoio. And probably mispronouncing those, but these two words simply mean to change one's mind. I have a concordance here that I brought this morning, and it's opened up to the word repent and highlighted if you want to come up and take a look at it afterwards. But it means change the mind, reconsider, think differently, or reversal of decision. And the other two Greek words are metalomai, you can read them, which means to regret or unregretted. And there are other words that relate to regret and so forth as it relates to salvation. It's always a change of mind. The word repent is used in connection with unbelievers for salvation and believers for service. So after you trusted Christ for your salvation, should a Christian depart from iniquity? Yes, the Bible teaches that. And so you just got to find out who is it talking to. Remember, rightly dividing the word of truth. Who said it? What is it telling them to do? Who is it talking to? What does it want them to do? So that is very important. So an unbeliever is saved from hell by faith in what Christ did. Faith in Christ. A believer saves his life on earth by living for Christ and the gospel. So an unbeliever is saved from hell by faith in what Christ did. And one is talking about about being saved from hell, and the other is talking about being saved from the power of sin in your life that you go through on a day-by-day basis until you get to be with the Lord. So you got to get the word saved, but it's talking about two different things. The unbeliever is justified before God receives Christ's righteousness by faith alone. Then a believer is justified before men and God by works for rewards. This is after you are saved. So you want to have profit in your life. Well, that's because of what you are doing for the Lord after you're saved. But you got to get saved first. A mother doesn't tell her little baby, now before I let you be born, little Johnny, you will promise to always be a good little boy, always mind your mama, and not do anything wrong. No. They usually let the child be born first, and then after the child's born, they teach him how to live. Well, God does the same thing with us. He did not ask us to promise to live right before he saved us, because if he had, then our salvation would have been dependent on what we promised. Turn to Luke 13, if you will, and we'll be there in just a minute. But the sad thing is that why some people end up in sorrow is because they had made the claim in some false church somewhere to promise to commit my life to Christ, or they promise to turn from their sin, and they know they failed, so they become like hypocrites. And that's a shame that preachers would preach such a message, but they do. So we need to be concerned with the Greek words for repent that are always used in connection with a man's salvation from hell to heaven. And only two of those four Greek words are used in connection with salvation. The first two I mentioned, metanoi and metanoio. And one's a noun, one's a verb, and they both mean to change one's mind. So when the Bible says a man must repent and be saved, it is saying that he must change his mind to be saved. You see, some people think they have to earn their way to heaven by their good works, which is sadly what a lot of churches teach. Nope, you've got to change your mind. You may think you're going to hell because of all those bad things you did. You got to change your mind. You may think, if I donate to the needy and live a decent life, I'll get in. Change your mind. If in your mind, you in any way, shape, or form are doing something to get there, change your mind. Because you see, you'd be rejecting the payment Christ had already made for you. In working, you're rejecting because Christ already did all the necessary work. He's already paid for your sins. It is not another condition for salvation added to belief. Rather, it is automatically included in the belief. In other words, how can you believe Christ as your Savior unless you change your mind? if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, and now you trust Christ as your Savior, well, what did you do? You changed your mind. That's why you'll not find the word mentioned in the book of John, because John uses the word believe. Yet the same book, which is God's gospel tract, never once uses either the word repent or repentance. Why? When you believe, you automatically repent. The person who has believed in Christ as a Savior, like John 3:16, has changed his mind from whatever he believed would save him before. You see, I used to believe that I had to do all those things the Catholics told me, because they were darn serious and outwardly holy and religious, and I believed them. I also believe that there are just some men like me who are not them, nor will ever be them, and therefore my hope was completely gone, and thus I just got on with the rest of the crowd, going away from religion. But then I got some new information I hadn't gotten before, and that led me to check it out for myself. And almost out of nervousness, while looking at my Bible, like when Nicolas Cage was in the movie The National Treasure, have you all seen that? Where he put that little Meerschaum pipe in there, in that little space, and he said to himself, could it really be that simple? I said to myself, I don't want to be duped again. Is this for real? Could it really be that simple? And the final answer was yes. In fact, it is so simple, most people find that hard to believe, you see, because it takes away their pride in all the things they were doing and creating their own layer of self-righteousness and trying to earn their way in, which would never work anyway. And some Catholics have been doing it that way for so long, they'll never believe it's that easy. They'll say 1.4 billion Catholics can't be wrong. I'll take my chances. But anyway, what did I do? I changed my mind. I reconsidered, because I got some really good information that a soul winner gave me, and I was thinking differently. It changed my mind, and now I had put all my chips, all my hope, all my faith in one person alone, and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, because I believed he paid my entire sin debt for me. That whole act in my head, while standing still and thinking it through, was repenting. What did I do? I repented. I sat still and I really believed it. That isn't working. I can't take any credit for it whatsoever. I don't deserve it. But that's what makes me want to serve all the more. I was gifted the greatest gift of all time, and I'm the least deserving. You see, some people think good works are going to save them. They've got the Ten Commandments hanging up on the wall of their house. You know, you have to change your mind, because there is no way that you can save yourself by the things that you do. It is evident not only from the Greek meaning, but also from the context of several passages, that repent, metanoia, means to change one's mind. Now, evangelists like to use, in the book of Luke, in chapter 13, verses 1 to 5, to try to get a person to repent. And they want to ram that right down your throat and scare you half to death. But when you really look at all those verses, it shows you that it is a thought process. It is something that you're thinking. Here it is. It says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering and said unto them, suppose ye. In other words, this has to do with how they were thinking. All right, see, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. See, they were thinking something that wasn't true. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that were that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And because they did not change their mind, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and they did perish, a lot of people. But Jesus is saying, what makes you think you're better than any one of them? You think the way you act